Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Catch the Blitz Show, Season 2, Episode 27. We're just 16 days away from the NFL Draft. It's right around the corner, and honestly, this whole draft period has kind of flown by on me.
Big time.
Anyways, Thomas Pargnick is always joined by Christian Catanacci. Cat, what's going on, man?
I'm doing great, Pocket. Yeah, 16 days away, man. That's like... It's almost as if we blinked, and then honestly felt like free agency started last week or 2 weeks ago.
This is like the shortest off, like crazy busy offseason time I can remember. Like free agency felt like it came right after the Super Bowl. Didn't feel like there was any time in between. It feels like free agency lasted a day, and just ended, and now it's like the draft is coming up. I always felt in the past that like I felt I was waiting and waiting and waiting for all this to happen. Maybe it's just because we've just been extra busy this year, but yeah, it's literally going to be here any second. Who knows? 16 days away. Still got the Lamar Jackson situation going on. We still got the Aaron Rodgers situation going on. Who knows when the heck those are going to be resolved. Happy Easter to all those who celebrated. You have a good Easter weekend?
Yeah, I did. I had to go to the gym yesterday and you know, work out for a couple hours because... I definitely went over my calorie count this weekend, but and I'm going to go over my calorie count again today because it's my Toronto Blue Jays, our Toronto Blue Jays home opener tonight. The beautiful new renovated stadium. Well, just the outfield part. They're doing the infield, or I should say the non-outfield, everything, but the outfield next year. But I'm excited. I'm ready to go, ready to crush some peanuts, some beer, and watch my Jays. But yeah, I'm doing great, Pac. I'm doing great. And we have a super special, very special person joining the show today. And I'm sure you guys are all familiar with Matt Miller, ESPN draft analyst. Honestly, in my opinion, the best in the business. We've been following Matt since his days in... Bleach Report.
Yeah, I remember. I was literally just telling you before we started recording, like, I remember being in high school, and it was, like, after week one in the NFL season and getting, like, that Bleach Report notification on my phone, and it's, like, Matt Miller's seven-round mock draft, and it's, like, what? Like, week one in the NFL just ended, and this guy's pumping out not just, like, a one-round mock, which is already crazy, like, a seven-round mock. Like, this guy really knows his stuff. He will be joining us later in the show, so make sure you stay tuned for that. Yeah, very, very exciting time right now.
Yeah, it's been awesome. I know we've been talking with Matt and over the years, realistically, and he's been very kind to give us time all... I mean, every single time we've reached out to him, he's been nice enough to... give us his time, whether that's some advice and just even talk. But yeah, I'm super excited about that. We finally were able to make that happen. And I mean, that's honestly the one thing that I was looking forward to all today. I woke up this morning. I was like, oh, it's Matt Miller Day. Right. And yeah, so that's he's joining us later on in this show. And it is draft time, Pac. It's draft time. And you know, you're Miami Dolphins. No pick.
Yeah, I'll be watching. I mean... Last season at this time, I got to say, oh, when the Dolphins are supposed to be on the clock, I get to watch Tyreek Hill highlights. That was like an impressive flex. This year, I get to say, when the Dolphins are supposed to be on the clock, I mean, one of the reasons why they don't have a pick is because they were tampering with Tom Brady. Nothing to be proud of over there. And then the other reason is I get to watch Bradley Chubb highlights, which is, again, like, hopefully he does a little bit better next year. But yeah, my Dolphins are without a pick. Your Cowboys, what are you guys picking, 26? 26?
I actually like 26, to be honest. I feel like there's going to be some talent there.
I think you're going to wait up all night, and I think they're going to trade out. That's pure, 26 is pure trade out area.
It is too, especially with the Hendon Hooker stuff now. Like, people are going to be wanting to get up and get that fifth-year option.
Especially when you have a late quarterback, like Jordan Love. Well,
26 was one I'm pretty sure, if my memory serves me correct, 26 was the pick that the Broncos traded up for Paxton Lynch. Back in 2016, it was the 26th.
Or I don't remember.
It's something like that. I don't know. It's in and around that situation. Regardless, that is prime trade-up territory. And I wouldn't be mad if that happened. I mean, maybe move down a couple little bit. And every single mock draft simulation that I've done, maybe you know what we'll do too, that I think would make a good show. If you guys want to see it, let us know. We will maybe do a like live first round mock draft like on the show maybe, right? We'll just go through it and use PFF and sort of make a pick in every... We'll do every single pick and see how that comes out. But I do every single mock draft simulation that I've done sort of leads me to believe like that trading down from 26 is, I want to say, the best option. I mean, there are still good players, but it's almost like there's like 10 really good players that you'd be fine with, but like, why not move down another couple spots and then get one of those 10 guys, yeah. and then right, you have another pick. So that, and the Cowboys do like their picks. I mean, they're pretty solid. They're amongst the top teams when it comes to the draft. But yeah, we're excited. 16 days away, and yeah, I think we should just jump right into it.
It is our pleasure now to be joined by ESPN draft analyst and insider Matt Miller. Matt, thank you so much for joining us today, and welcome to the CTB show.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are one of my favorite Instagram accounts. I had to follow. I'm a huge follower. Had to do the podcast when you reached out. So I am as excited as you are today. I'm probably more excited because I love what you guys do. That you guys do a fantastic job. There's so many times like I miss news. And then I see it on Instagram, like while my wife's watching reality TV and I'm on Instagram being a great husband. I'm like, oh, I missed that. So you all do a fantastic job.
Much appreciated, Matt. And we know draft time is just super, super crazy busy, but it's fun. And I'm sure you're really busy. So we appreciate you joining us today. Let's just hop right into it. And we'll start at the top of the draft, honestly, because the Carolina Panthers made just a massive, massive splash to go up and grab the first overall pick. Now, as soon as that sort of happened, we got the CJ Stroud crowd, and everyone was saying he's the favorite, he's the guy for this new Frank Reich era. And just as of yesterday, Bryce Young sort of come in, and he's now the new betting favorite. So I want to know from you if you have any insight on this, or maybe it could just be your own opinion of who you like better as a quarterback, but who do you think the guy is going to be to have his name called first come draft night?
Yeah, I'll tell you, right before I jumped on with you guys, it's Tuesday afternoon, like, at noon for me, Central Time, I was just on a call where somebody was like, no, it's this player. And it's funny because, like you said, there was the CJ Stroud crowd. I love the rhyme there. I was one of those people because as soon as the trade happened, what all of us do is we start texting people. Who's it for? I remember the Jared Goff trade when it broke. I remember texting people, who's it for? And everyone thought, oh, it's Carson Wentz. But I had one guy who was like, no, it's Goff. And so you usually know your people who know certain organizations really well. I think what's complicating this one is in Carolina, you have three different groups. You have the owner, David Tepper. We don't know how involved he is. You have a general manager, Scott Fitterer, who's on head coach number two now. We don't know how involved he is in the decision. And then you have a new head coach in Frank Reich, and you don't know how much sway he has. So I think that's what's making this hard to get like accurate information as we're 2.5 weeks away from the draft is you don't know which group has the power. So we can hear Frank Reich could come out today and tell Adam Schefter, I like Bryce Young. It might not mean he's the pick. So I think that's what's making it really hard. So I go back to what I would do. Bryce Young's my top quarterback and he's my number two overall player behind Will Anderson. I would draft Bryce Young. I think he can be everything you need. That is like a sneaky good offense. I know that you trade DJ Moore, but like, you know, you bring in DJ Chark, you have Adam Thielen. We hope Terrace Marshall can become what he was at LSU. You got two good offensive tackles. You've got some, you know, dudes in the backfield. So, and a great defense supporting you. So I think whether it's Bryce or CJ, I think they're both fantastic. I know that's not fun to be like, hey, I like both a lot. But as of today, with the caveat that it's going to change a bunch in the next 16 days, I'll say Bryce Young.
Yeah, and Thomas and I, we've harped on this podcast quite a bit about how high we are on Carolina next year, especially with the wide open division. And I'm sort of in that opinion. I know Thomas shares the same thing, where both quarterbacks are sort of on the same level if you're talking about CJ Stroud and Bryce Young. So it's hard to mess up the pick per se. Right, but again, right. I think Carolina, even though you mentioned that they did trade DJ Moore, they're definitely in the driver's seat, and at least in the near future to come out on top in that division. But so go ahead.
A quick story. I live about 20 miles from the Missouri-Kansas state line. Kansas has legal sports betting. Missouri doesn't, which is a whole weird thing. Yeah. But as soon as the Panthers traded up for the number one overall pick, I drove my ass across the state line and put $50. It's $50, right? But it's fun. It's just fun. I put 50 on the Panthers to win the NFC South. It was like, you know what? I had talked myself out of doing that with the Jaguars last year. It's like, nah, this year I'm going to, it's $50. If I lose it, it's a good story. You know, it's not a problem, but The payout was pretty nice, so yeah, I'm hoping it happens.
It's even better. It's an even better story if you end up cashing right. in that bet, right?
Right.
So could make for a good one. But yeah, we'll jump. I mean, we talk about first overall, and then we're gonna go right to third overall. Like that is a huge pick where you don't know if it's gonna be Arizona, if it's gonna be a team like Tennessee come up for and jump the Colts. Heck, it could even be the Colts move up one spot with the Cardinals, and so that pick does hold a lot of intrigue and. What is the plan there from someone that's connected? What do you see them doing? Is Arizona going to stay there and pick a guy like Will Anderson, or are they going to look to move down? And then if they do move down, how far back are they willing to go?
Yeah, I don't think you let Adam Schefter know that six teams have called you about that pick if you don't want to trade the pick. And, you know, great reporting by Adam. To six teams is a lot. I think any of us could have said, hey, Arizona wants to trade the pick. To find out there are six teams that are interested is pretty noteworthy. So I think what we're learning is there's a big enough market. Now, if I'm the Cardinals, I don't want to get out of the Will Anderson, Jalen Carter range. So you don't want to trade down very far. I think what you hinted at there is your ideal scenario is to flip picks with the Indianapolis Colts. Remember, we saw the Chicago Bears and the San Francisco 49ers do that in 2017. The Bears gave up a 3 and a 4 that year and a 3 the next year. So it's not a lot, but if you're the Arizona Cardinals and you have the worst roster in football, you need those extra picks. But the cool thing is Arizona would then be at pick number 4. Why couldn't you trade again? Why couldn't you talk to the Tennessee Titans at 11 or whoever, you know, Tampa at 19 or the Minnesota Vikings at 23 or wherever they are? Like, why couldn't you just keep this thing going, which is something like we heard the Chicago Bears were trying to do. They were trying to go from 1 to 2 and 2 to 9. So I feel like these NFL general managers are getting smarter of like, hey, it's not just one trade. It's a lot. You know, Howie Roseman did that a couple of years ago with the Eagles where they moved all over the place, you know, with Miami and San Francisco. There's so many trades happening. So I think if you're Arizona, they've had so much negative publicity this offseason as well. It's like you got to almost like you're dangling the puppet like, no, like, look over here. We want to trade out of this pick. Forget about burner phones and all the other things going on. So I do think smart team building is you swap with Indy. So you're at 4 and you see who's there. If Houston surprises us all and they take Will Anderson, you're sitting at 4. Like, okay, we can trade this pick for somebody who wants Anthony Richardson. And you just keep kind of going down the list that way.
I think it's really interesting that you brought up Indianapolis because I sort of viewed them as a real good candidate to move up and go pick number 1 this year. And then that didn't happen. And it's really intriguing with them because their division rival Houston, who's also rebuilding, is sitting right in front of them at number 2. And to me, that's problematic if you're looking at getting a quarterback because you don't want your division rival to sort of have the guy of their choice and you're sort of picking...
Yeah,
you know, just a backup option. So do you think there's a real possibility that maybe Indy just sort of says, screw it with the quarterback. We don't really love any of the guys we have left at number 4 or even number 3, if you know, I mean, you suggested the trade up, and just potentially even trade down, acquire more assets, and go out and get a guy like, I mean, Caleb Williams next year looks really, really special.
Right. I think that is very possible. The only obstacle I would say is that Chris Ballard, the general manager there, has tried so many different ways in the 6 years since Andrew Luck surprised us all and retired at halftime of a preseason game. I mean, it's been, you know, Phillip Rivers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan, you know, they've tried everything and nothing has stuck. So that's the only, I would say, obstacle in the idea of, hey, we've got Gardner Minshew, Sam Ellinger, Nick Foles. We'll roll with those dudes. I think the only thing that stops that from happening is an owner who has got to be getting impatient. I mean, he hired one of his best friends as head coach midway through the year last year. Yeah. So I think Ursa is probably getting impatient and wants this figured out. So I would say if you're Chris Ballard and you know, he has a fantastic reputation as a scout. If you survey the landscape and said, you know what, I don't like Anthony Richardson because we need somebody right now. I don't like Will Levis because of the 23 interceptions. I think your only other option is to trade for Lamar Jackson. You know, just pick 4 for Lamar or pick 4 and a 1 next year for Lamar Jackson. I think if you're going to say you're out on this quarterback class, you've got to find a way to go get him.
Absolutely. And we both mentioned that before about saying how do you sell the fan base? You go in another year and you have this massive gaping hole at quarterback and you don't address it this offseason. I get it. If it's a different scenario, if the owner wasn't as impatient as he is. Maybe they look to next year, but it's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard sell on the fan base to say, look, we're trying to compete and make this team better. If they don't have the quarterback problem, at least sort of fabricated, right? A little bit. Cause like again, you're drafting one of these kids from college. It's not a guaranteed pick, but at least you have some sort of answer and some way to show your fan base and your owner, like, look, we're trying to fix this problem. Right.
And I've never, off memory, I've never seen a team roll into a season without someone that you've invested like some hopes and dreams in. Like there are teams that make decisions and you're like, okay, good luck with that. But they're at least convicted about it. You know, they'll roll out the carpet and say, no, like Sam Howell's our guy or Desmond Ritter's our guy. Like we've already heard that. But for Indy to say with a straight face, after the draft, no, we believe Gardner Minshew is the starting quarterback in the NFL. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get out of here. So even though Caleb Williams and Drake May are sitting out there in the not too distant future, also how great would it be if Jim Irsay was like, you know what? We've already watched the quarterbacks next year. We're all in on those guys. Like
that would be Irsay's awesome.
The one owner who could do that.
Who could, you
know, like, hey, we're on to 2024.
Yeah. And I mean, you talk about like incredibly talented prospects. And there's one that's incredibly intriguing in this draft, and that's Jalen Carter, who was once regarded as like a surefire top three pick, best player in the draft, people were saying. And as the draft process has come on, there's been some really serious off-field concerns. And he showed up on his pro day overweight, and he hasn't really taken, again, there was this report that came out last week about how he isn't taking visits outside of the top 10. So is there a real chance with Jalen Carter falling, a player that was once and still is by many regarded as one of the best prospects in this draft?
Yeah, I don't see any way he falls out of the top 10, guys. Even if, you know, we can run through the list of reasons that he could have, you know, like you said, there's the, you know, the incident with the car accident at the University of Georgia. You know, he pled that out. It's done. You know, it's in his past. There's the pro day that he couldn't even finish because he was 9 pounds overweight. There's the, like you said, he's not taking visits outside the top 10. He and his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, obviously know something. Otherwise, you would not limit yourself. It's not worth it to try to have like a PR stunt of, no, we're not going to visit the Tennessee Titans because they pick 11th. Like, you can't risk that if you don't know. And talking to scouts and coaches around the league, I don't know anyone who thinks he'll fall out of the top 10. Like, everyone sees Philadelphia at 10 as his floor. Like you mentioned, it wasn't that long ago, we all thought Chicago might just take him at number one overall before they traded and before all this came out at the combine. So I don't see any way he gets, there's just too many teams like Seattle at 5, Detroit at 6, Chicago, Philly. Like, there's so many teams that actually need exactly what Jalen Carter is that he's too talented to fall.
And I know you mentioned Philadelphia being his floor. I almost think it's got to be Chicago at 9, because if Chicago moved down to 9 and they were going to take him at 1, right? Like, there's got to be, it's like, okay, if I could get him at 9, why not? And I mean, everyone knows how talented Jalen Carter is. I can only remember, just dating back to last year when I was watching Trayvon Walker, I kept noticing Jalen Carter, like, who is?
Yep.
It was impossible for me not to notice him. So he is like an uber talented prospect, and I know both Thomas and I have talked about him multiple times on the podcast in the past about how intriguing he is because he's so talented, and it's almost like you just bet on a guy like that, right? Like, don't worry about you trust your guys enough to get him in the right headspace and on the right track, and you bring yourself in a future All Pro player in Jalen Carter.
Yeah, which is why I think like Chicago makes a lot of sense. Philly definitely does. I love the idea of him going to the Detroit Lions because you've got former players ever, like Dan Campbell, former player, Aaron Glenn, former player. Like, they have such a strong staff. And then you have guys like Aiden Hutchinson already in place on defense. You know, you've got kind of a core that would be around him. You've got Jared Goff, who's a great leader at quarterback. You know, they have the structure. I think for Jalen's sake, and he's not unique in this regard, there have been a lot of players over the years who are this way. Just he needs to go somewhere where there is structure, you know, and that he's going to have someone to, you know, kind of follow their example of this is how we practice, this is how we work as a professional. And because his talent is unlimited, you know, he could be the best defensive tackle in the game if he realizes that potential.
I really like that shout of him going to the Lions, just with the culture they've built there in the past couple of years. I mean, we all remember the Lions passing on Aaron Donald for, I think it was Eric Ebron years ago. I mean, it's been a while now. Maybe they can finally get the redemption and bring in someone like Jalen Carter. But before we let you go, Matt, we love our sleepers on this show. We love to talk about some of the guys who sometimes fly under the radar. You're, of course, the expert. You do your homework on all these guys. Is there someone in this draft that comes to your mind that maybe isn't getting quite enough love or attention from the media that 2-3 years from now we sit back and say, wow, how did this guy go, whatever, in the third round, fourth round? Who's the guy in this draft that we should all know about?
There are so many. We need to do a follow-up pod that's like 4 hours long because there's so many. It's like, and you're right, that's my favorite topic. So it's hard to boil it down. I'm going to be a little bit of a homer, though, and say Roschon Johnson from Texas. And this has become my, like, boilerplate answer to this because I firmly believe if he had played college football anywhere but Texas, he would have been the second best running back in college last year. Turns out he was behind the best running back in college in Bijan Robinson, who will be a first-round pick. But Roschon, he was a quarterback when he got to Texas. They had some injuries at running back, and he said, no, like, I'll play running back. It's fine. He never went back to quarterback, and he's now this 220-pound kind of a bulldozer a little bit at running back, but he's a great receiver out of the backfield. He's incredibly patient. So when I look at guys like Damian Pierce last year, Tyler Allgeier, you know, we had some day three picks hit 1,000 yards, and I think Roschon in the right situation can be one of those players too.
Absolutely, and both Thomas and I, we love our fresh running backs that come out of college and their carry total isn't too high. I think Roschon Johnson is my running back three in the draft. I don't know if I would put him above Gibbs because I just like what Gibbs is able to do with the ball in his hands. He's just an electric player. But if I'm not able to target those two guys, Roschon Johnson for me is especially someone that I would target, and I would be okay with picking him as soon as like the late second round too, to be honest, personally.
Yeah, it's funny because there's a corollary. When Ricky Williams was at Texas, his backup that like never got any run was Priest Holmes. So like, there's Texas fans are like, oh wait, you know, and maybe this is happening again. So even Jamal Charles was a backup for a little bit. So crazier things have happened.
I prefer my running back, if anything, to almost be sort of in a lesser role in college. Because sometimes you see these guys come out, you know, they're a four-year starter in college. They got all these, just so many miles on them. And then by year three, four in the NFL, they're run down. So I love that insight. Matt, thank you as always. You're great. So much information. We'll definitely try to have you on again sometime.
Maybe for not a four-hour show, but
maybe a longer show post draft when
that would be cool.
Like well rested and those things. You know, we'll make that happen.
Yeah, I'm sure we're 16 days away from the draft. I don't know if you're gonna have 16 hours total sleep in the next 2 weeks, right?
It doesn't feel like it. Last night I tweeted this, so I feel okay sharing the story. I fell asleep, but it's like, you know, when you don't get to that deep sleep, so you feel like you're just thinking the whole time. And I had a dream that Daniel Jeremiah was in my house telling me that I was too low on Dalton Kincaid. It's like, he's going earlier than you think. And I'm like, I wake up this morning, like, what is going on in my brain right now? Like, why am I dreaming? And I love Daniel, but like, why am I having dreams about Daniel Jeremiah and Dalton?
You don't like him that way.
Right, yeah. I would rather just fall asleep and wake up. So we'll see. Draft night, I might owe DJ a thank you. We'll see.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, yeah, thank you very much, Matt. I mean, it was awesome. Thomas and I both enjoyed it. I know we talked about it in the past about doing it. And so it was finally nice to finally sit down with you. And we appreciate you taking your time and enjoying the show. I hope you had as great of a time as we did, because I know this was definitely the highlight of my day personally. And I'm going to the Jays home opener tonight. So that says something, right?
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I noticed the t-shirt. I was trying to peek and see what you did.
I wore it because I know we beat your Royals last week. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'll be all summer is hopefully watching baseball, working on the tan. So you guys have a great day. I do appreciate you having me on.
Thank you very much, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. Take care.
Yep.
Hope Matt gets that much needed rest and summer baseball in the near future. But like you said, the next 16 days are going to be a grind for him. They're going to be a grind for us. But at the end of the day, it's football, it's sports, it's fun. We're looking forward to it. We're going to definitely do some sort of mock draft episode or more in-depth draft preview from sort of our own point of view upcoming in the next few weeks. But I think for now, we'll just sort of unpack all of the, like, I mean, there was a lot there that he sort of let us in on, and there was really, really great insight. But yeah, we'll just essentially just break it down what Matt Miller brought out. I mean, for me, the thing that stuck out most, I think, was the Colts was a question that I really, really wanted to know, because that was sort of my own opinion that I was putting in there, that the Colts should maybe just not go and draft a quarterback this year. And I agree with what he said about impatient owner, needing to win now. But the Lamar Jackson thing was interesting, especially with OBJ signing yesterday. Like, to me, it just seems like there's no possible way, and I've said this, I feel like I'm just beating a dead horse here. I've said this so many times. I don't think there's any possible way that this guy's not a Baltimore Raven next year.
I think I got to agree with that. Like, it was intriguing that he brought that up as an option, more so saying that there's no way that the Colts don't pick a quarterback, right? Because if that was the direction, he basically was saying how, oh, the Colts are walking out of this draft process with a quarterback, right? And there was a better chance that they trade for Lamar Jackson than sort of throw their chips for next year and wait for Caleb Williams and Drake May. So I think that was very interesting. The one thing that really jumped out to me when we're talking about prospects, and there's been so much speculation about this one player and who is one of the, if not most talented prospect in this whole draft, and that's Jalen Carter. And the fact that he said his floor is right there with the Philadelphia Eagles. And I think that just pretty much cements what everyone was speculating, because there were multiple people that were saying, oh, this guy's going to fall in the teens and the 20s. There's no way. There is absolutely no way. And the fact that Matt sort of stood there and said very with confidence about how Jalen Carter is not going to fall past 10. I mentioned and I followed up that, I know this is more so just my gut feeling and as opposed to him having his sources, but I don't think Jalen Carter, if he's there at 9, there's no way the Chicago Bears are passing him up. Especially the fact that they traded down from 1 to 9, and that was probably going to be the pick. If there was a scenario where they stayed at 1, the fact that they could get him at 9 would be like the best business possible. But I think his sweet spot's still around 5, picks 5, picks 6 with the Seahawks and the Detroit Lions.
I mean, yeah, I think I would have a hard time seeing him get past Seattle or Detroit. Although I do think Seattle is going to be tempted to go out and take a quarterback if they really, really like Anthony Richardson. Let him, especially with how raw he is, let him sort of sit behind Geno and learn for a little bit. The Lions, now that Jeff Okuda's gone, like, corner is a big, big need for these guys. I know they put in some work in the secondary and free agency. Went on and got Cameron Sutton. CJ Gardner-Johnson, of course, is a safety, but he can sort of play a defensive back role and fill in the slot. But they need a number one corner. Maybe they go with a Witherspoon or Christian Gonzalez, but Jalen Carter is going to be really, really tempting for the Lions. And I love what Matt said about the culture that's sort of being built there by Dan Campbell and how that would just really be a nice spot for him. And you pair him with a guy like Aiden Hutchinson. Like, you're talking about a duo you can rely on for the next 10 or so years to be just monsters up front and really dictate the pace of a football game. So, yeah, a lot of good stuff with what we had to say about Jalen Carter. And it just goes to show you that, like, the draft process is pretty lengthy. I know I was talking about how it feels like it went by quickly today, but the media needs to bleed every single storyline that Absolutely. They possibly can. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if this whole Jalen Carter is going to fall thing, because it was being talked about 2-3 weeks ago. By the time we get to the draft, it's going to be a long, long time since we've been talking about Jalen Carter falling. If he just goes exactly where he's predicted to be, it's the same thing with the whole Bryce Young, CJ Stroud. Like, what is possibly changing? They've had their pro days. Nothing. They've had their pro days. They've had their combine. They've had their, you know, years in college putting on a show and you know, putting forth their film. What is possibly changing that's making, you know, the Carolina Panthers to draft CJ Stroud go from -300 to now the favorites Bryce Young at -200.
It's all media. It's all media. It is.
It's literally all media speculation, and that's why we bring in the guys on the show exactly. Who actually know what they're talking about.
Exactly, and that's what we do here on the CB show. We try and give you guys accurate information, and that's exactly what we do with Matt. And again, it was awesome having him on. That was the first time we've done anything like that, to be honest, on the show. That was the very first time that we had any sort of special guest. And it, again, that's something that Thomas and I have always talked about in the past. And I think that's what would, really make this show take the next step. And I know that you guys also agree. And if you guys enjoyed that, you let us know, right? Like, if you guys want us to try and get some players or someone, anyone in the NFL, in the NFL space, to try and come on the show, we can see if that makes that work. If that's what you guys want to see, we'll do that. Because Thomas and I had a blast. I know we've talked to Matt about doing this years ago, actually. We talked about Matt doing a live stream with Matt, or live streams with Matt, before the CTB show was even a thought. And I mean, that, again, he's so busy. So obviously that's understandable that we just never really had the time. But we can't thank him enough for giving him giving us 25 minutes of his time during this draft process, which again is the busiest 2 weeks for him, yeah, of the whole year, right? And I know Thomas mentioned before, as soon as, and you know what's going to happen, as soon as the draft is over on Sunday, you're going to get Matt Miller's 7-round mock draft.
Oh, yeah.
From 2024.
You might even get the 2025 mock draft from Matt Miller. Like, I don't know how this
goes. I wonder if he's already worked on that.
He knows. He's got a good, I mean, when I mentioned Caleb Williams to him, his eyes just lit up. He's already pumped to talk about next year's crop of players and next year's draft. It is impressive. As someone, for me, like, I've always been honest when I talk about the draft. Like, I am an NFL draft fan. I'm not a college fan. I'm learning these prospects as we go. I'll never sit on this podcast and claim to say that I'm some sort of expert with these players. But, yeah, special thanks again to Matt for coming on. We had a ton of fun today. And I'm sure we'll look to bring on some more guests in the future.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Yep. Have a good one.